Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Jury deliberations resuming this morning in the trial of a man accused of shooting six police officers. That continues this morning. By the way, jurors who were handed the case on Thursday, as you know, after 2 weeks of hearing all of the evidence, have asked a total of 13 questions so far, but have not yet reached a verdict. They were sent home for the weekend, but they told the judge they agree on some counts against 41-year-old Maurice Hill, but on others, they are deadlocked. As I recall, Nick Cale predicted that they would deliberate maybe an hour. This was a slam dunk. A man who fired upon police officers, according to prosecutors, for as many as 8 hours during that tense standoff. There was a daycare. The community was disrupted in the summer of 2019. Quite traumatic. Six officers shot. The defense here said that Maurice Hill's just a good guy trying to defend himself against what he thought were just intruders in his home, not realizing until 8+ hours later that, oops, it's the police. Nick Cale, as of this morning, they're deadlocked.
Ah, geez. Deadlocked, of course. I don't know how you could be deadlocked on this if the duration of that standoff is 8 hours. And again, I don't know what time in that 8 hour stretch did he officially realize it was police? I just don't understand how that's a viable defense. I mean, once you, if it's not the intruders that you thought, rival gang member, whatever it might be, perpetrator, theft, break and enter suspect, whatever the classification of crime that you thought was being committed against you and your property, once you realize police are there, how do you not just give it up? And again, what you mentioned last week, he walked out with his handgun while his lawyer was with him.
Yes.
How do you get to walk out with your firearm and endanger police? What, you just take the lawyer's word? Oh, don't worry about it. He's going to hold on to the gun, but I talked to my client. He's good for it. Don't shoot.
And prosecutors also pointing out that he wasn't allowed to have a handgun due to his previous...
Of course not.
Conviction.
Right.
Long rap sheet. Also on trial, jury selection beginning today in New York. That's for hip-hop legend Sean Diddy Combs. And talking about all
legend is a little
legend.
It's a little
famous,
not right.
Individual.
Yeah.
Attracted those A-list celebrities to his so-called white parties in the Hamptons. And so the Bad Boy Records founder used the power and prestige he gained in building a hip hop empire to destroy young lives. That's according to authorities, to prosecutors. So this indictment includes descriptions of these freak offs, drugged up orgies in which women and others were forced to have relations with male sex workers. The list goes on and on. Combs and his attorneys, they say that this is absolutely, he's absolutely innocent and he will be vindicated at trial.
Yeah, I think it was late last week. They rejected a plea offer late in the week from prosecution, which I thought was interesting because it seems like there's a lot of dirt on this guy. Kind of a well-known, well-kept secret.
Yeah.
But I believe they think, and this is just me speculating, I believe they think that his money and wealth will get him out of this as our jury system is akin to do.
Okay.
It's not based on race. It's not based on what you do. It's based on how much money you have.
Yeah. Status.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have making national news. This is a Temple University student suspended after what is purported to be an anti-Semitic sign at a local sports bar in Philadelphia. This went viral online, making national news. The owner of the company behind the bar also speaking out on social media, calling his viral rants, calling them live news conferences. This is Barstool's Dave Portnoy saying that he fired these at least two waitresses, one named Kelly, in which she says is just stupid. But then Dave Portnoy had an emergency press conference to talk about having some grace. Having some grace.
He wants to educate the ignorant.
Well, not for the waitresses who were his hires who held up the sign.
Mm-hmm.
But
should we show the sign so people know what they're what you're talking about? Because you can put it on YouTube. Roll this. Is it anything but dark black here, guys? All right. Okay. Never mind then. I guess we don't have it.
Well, we can say what the sign says without saying the curse word.
Boy, we're just firing it all cylinders. 609. I want to start the show over. 609.
The sign said F the Jews.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So apparently you get to say to the waitress what sign you want held up. And so these temple students thought it would
there
be.
There it is.
Yeah. All right, it's playing now. Yeah. Yeah, the audio is not even really necessary. You got all these young girls having a good time, phones out, and there's like a whiteboard where you can, like you just said, Dawn, put whatever you want up there. And, of course, it says, F the Jews.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And this was at Barstool Philly there on Sampson Street?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So the bottom line on this one, the founder of Barstool Sports, he was getting ready to go to the Met, by the way, gala, in New York, but he said he was shaking. This was very disturbing.
Well, he's Jewish. He should be shaking and ticked off. He's Jewish.
Let's play.
I would submit to you don't have to be Jewish.
No, I know.
I would hope everybody was angry with it.
Let's play a little bit of Portnoy. Hopefully this is all censored.
Oh, gosh.
Roll this, Phil.
All right, emergency press conference time. So I'm getting ready to go to the Met Gala.
The Met Gala.
And all of a sudden, my phone, the last hour or two, my phone's blowing up. Our bar in Philadelphia, Barstool Sampson Street, usually a great bar. You know, bottle service, people buy drinks. You get a sign. There was a sign yesterday that said Jews. I've been shaking. I've been so mad for the last 2 hours. Like, I instantly got on. This is why the emergency press conference is late, because I was so over the top. It's like, I'm going to make it my life mission to ruin these people. Like, I'm coming to your throat. I'm never ending. And I just sat, and for the last 2 hours, I have been on the trail. Trust me, I've been on the trail. You think I'm going to put up with this at my bar? So I've been hunting down waitresses, the table who did it, and everything you can name, because I want consequences for actions. So I'm not just sitting back like, oh, what are you going to know? Trust me, I have been on it. I believe the two waitresses responsible for the table already fired. I talked to one of them, one of the dumbest humans I've ever talked to in my life. She's at a dance recital. She's like, can I call you back in 20? No, honey, you can't. This is your one chance to talk to me. Idiot. Total idiot.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Nuke them.
What is happening? So it was Temple students that did this? Is that what they're saying?
At least one Temple student one Temple student was already suspended, the university announced. And so there's no due process here, by the way. It's like, we see you on the video. And so that one student suspended, then the other one facing suspension. I guess the cops got involved. And so in this case, the only thing I'll point out to you, the two Temple male students who were the ones, so when they do the bottle service, then you can ask the waitress, you know, what do you want on the sign?
Mm-hmm.
And so she holds up the sign.
Yeah.
So the two women who are the wait, and obviously they're, one is trying out for parts and that sort of thing. So the hardworking waitresses, the women who complied and put up their sign, they just lose their jobs. The two Temple students, who I would submit to you are woke and anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, probably pro-Palestine,
mm-hmm.
and indoctrinated.
Fresh off the whole Swarthmore story.
Yeah, yep. And they get a free trip to Germany. So I think in this case, this is a case that's good for so-called restorative justice, where all parties come together and try to push some education on young people. But the fact that on one hand, the two waitresses, the two women, they're just fired and they're idiots. But the two guys who allegedly instigated this whole thing.
It's an interesting,
You know what I mean? They get a free trip to Germany.
So if you break it all down, you look at the left, they claim that Trump is Hitler, yet they're the ones walking around with F the Jews signs, encampments on Swarthmore, supporting from the river to the sea. It's a very interesting hypocrisy. But let me ask you, as far as this waitress goes, let's just say the one that is allegedly the Temple student. Do you think it ever entered her mind after the guy, the customer, gave the request of, hey, on the sign, when you bring back my bottle service toots, I want the sign to say F the Jews. Do you think it ever entered her brain where she said, you know what? On second thought, while I'm here in the back of the kitchen with a little marker board, maybe I shouldn't put that on the sign?
Yeah.
You think that ever entered her mind?
100%. I don't know that I would have the grace to say, hey, we should have some restorative justice. It's basically what he's saying, restorative justice. That's what that is, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I've would have any grace for these individuals. But once you go down that road, then why would you have grace for the two that instigated it?
Because they didn't, well.
And not for the waitress wants the tip, who should have spoken out.
To be fair to the dumb waitress, none of this would have happened if they would have just said, we're not
true.
Putting that on
there.
Yeah.
You know
true.
What I mean? Like you can say anything. It's a dumb punk kid. You can be like, oh, I want to do this. I love Adolf Hitler. And it's up to the bar and the waitresses to say, mm-hmm. no, you're an idiot. We're not putting that on there. How about something else? You know what I mean?
True.
So none of this would have happened without those two waitresses complying and doing that.
And then imagine how Portnoy must feel. And I'm not defending billionaire Dave Portnoy by any stretch, but here it is. It's a Sunday. He's getting ready to go do whatever, and he gets word that one of his 15 million businesses that he's involved in is dealing with this, and it's blowing up on social media. He must have been fuming. I would have been raging, right?
Yeah.
You think he wants
it's horrible.
It's not like he interviewed this waitress when he hired her. Whoever runs his bar interviewed her. You think he wants to deal with these lowlifes?
And by the way, once again, Philadelphia in the news for not a great thing, because this is, people are like, this story is everywhere.
Oh,
it's literally everywhere.
Yeah. My school, my alma mater, looks great again.
And Philadelphia looks to be the armpit of the universe once again.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask Jennifer Griffin if she'll just pay off personally the rest of my student loan, because I'm embarrassed to pay back my lender because of what that school has become under your watch.
These kids, man, I just, I'm gonna sound like old man yelling at cloud, but we need to, like, there are some serious mental health issues going around.
Do you think they know who Hitler is?
And no, they're just being.
Or they do, and they just don't care.
They're just being stupid. and it's the downfall of civilization. I really believe that. I really believe that, and I blame social media. I'm sorry. I know you guys are going to disagree, but I believe so. I blame social media.
Greg,
for this.
Social media, but also these kids have been. We've covered it. I mean, all of these so-called college kids. Just do a rewind a little bit.
I don't know how many of them
were indoctrinated middle school and high school.
I don't think that they're being indoctrinated. I think that I really think that it is. You think college professors are going around saying F the Jews and the Jews are the problem?
No. I don't think college professors are. I think in many cases some of these kids are indoctrinated through social media,
TikTok,
but it's also the teachers and the schools kind of go along with this pro-Palestinian nonsense that is like, well, it's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Nobody's talking about the fact that we have hopefully at least two dozen hostages after 550 days are still being held against their will, Jewish hostages. But these kids don't even hear about the hostages or the Jews being persecuted.
And on TikTok, they see dead babies in Gaza, and it's the fault of the Jews. And I'm telling you, I blame more social media than I do teachers saying, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because half these kids, like, did you listen to anything any of your teachers said?
No.
It went in one ear, out the other. You know what I mean? Like,
prime example, Run versus Ran. I wasn't paying attention when that was covered. But you know what it also is, I think? It's this just general protest culture that we're living in now, where everybody wants to protest something, regardless of what side is the right side versus the wrong side, no matter what the issue is, no matter how serious the issue is. Showing up, pulling out your phone, protesting on social media is the new trendy thing to do. Whether it's Israel versus the Middle East, Trump versus this, Elon versus that, Tesla's, electric cars, you name it. It's just, I'm going to protest.
Protest is nothing new, though.
Like, no, I know. But this generation can document it on their phone.
Students in the 60s protested the Vietnam War.
That's true.
So it's not, like, protest is not something new. It's just now, you're right, it's spread everywhere because it's videoed, it's mm-hmm. cataloged everywhere. Boom. And now people are like, I want to get involved in that. I want to get involved in that. Yep. I don't know what it is, but I like it.
Yep. Exactly what it is.
I'm just saying, if you're going to give grace to the two guys, give grace to your employees, the two servers. Send them all to jail.
I wouldn't give grace to anybody.
No, I wouldn't either. I said that. I mean, I don't think any of the three of us would give these four any grace.
Let's just drop them off in a pile of rubble along the Gaza Strip and let them fight the battle of the holy wars. Let them join the jihad. They'll cry in 2 minutes.
Now my news is going long, so I'll headline this for you. Luigi Mangione, of course, captured here in Pennsylvania. The defense team arguing that it's a case of double jeopardy between state charges as well as federal charges. So trying to get him out of some of those, urging the judge to throw this out.
I hate lawyers.
And by the way, speaking of stupid adoration for stupid people and stupid causes, I know we have it for the cut sheet, but there's now a musical
created. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, somebody told me about this over the weekend.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Was it when you read the show sheet and you read the cut sheet and you saw it on there? Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be a doozy. Get ready for this.
It's Mangione.
And it's a California. I think it's a San Francisco creation.
San Francisco musical.
Yeah, of course.
Where else would it come from?
Of course.
So it's outrageous.
Love
and by the
place.
Way, donations for Mangione's fundraiser are TikTok about to exceed $1 million for his legal defense, closing in on $1 million.
I know Trump wants to, purchase Greenland or take it over. Why don't we, how about this? Instead of doing that, instead of renaming the Gulf of America, the Gulf of Mexico, and making Canada the 51st state, how about we just trade California to the Middle East? Does anybody object to that? The entire state of California, we just rip it off the San Andreas Fault and we send it in a big ship right to the Middle East. Maybe knock the Houthis over with it.
The Houthis. We have our, just really quick here, just headlines for our Phillies. We didn't get her done, unfortunately. It was a painful loss to the Diamondbacks yesterday. Fans blaming bad bullpen. Defense unraveling in the 10th.
At least Bryce Harper had a home run for the first time in, 13 games or something.
Life is too short for bad bullpens.
Bad bullpen. 11-9 defeat to the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, Phils obviously had two wins previous to yesterday over the Arizona Diamondbacks, but we failed to sweep in that hard-fought home series. Let's talk about the Kentucky Derby.
Oh.
Love this one. Sovereignty upsets journalism.
Oh, that was the trendy thing Saturday night at 7. Another loss for journalism. It's been a tough stretch for journalism the last 5 years.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I lost every single one of my Kentucky Derby bets. Oh, all of them. Gosh. Every single slip. Throw them in the fireplace.
So, and also,
do you know a lot about horse racing that you feel confident enough to bet the Kentucky Derby?
No, I had five. I placed five bets at Parks, and it was a total of $27.
No, oh, okay.
Yeah, right. They're all lottery. They're all lottery tickets. Yeah. Just trying to get early retirement.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro headlining as he joined the Broad Street Run as a spectator, but cheering on First Lady Lori and their daughter. 40,000 runners across our region with the 46th annual Broad Street Run yesterday morning.
And how many miles is that, did you say?
Or is it 10?
Is it the 10? Okay. So I know the full marathon is, 26.2, I believe. So it's a little bit less than half of a marathon.
So it's 10-mile race, Jefferson Einstein Medical Center in North Philadelphia. It ends at the Navy Yard.
Gosh, I could not do that. I could not do 10 miles right now. Maybe 3 or 4.
It's a lot. But at least they didn't have pouring rain. The rain held off.
Yeah.
So they got that going on, which is nice. We are sponsored by Kitchen Magic. Looking to remodel your kitchen at Kitchen Magic. Their products are made right in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. So tariff delays won't impact you. They're family-owned, American-made, and this May, save up to 30%. Visit KitchenMagic.com today. KitchenMagic.com today. Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll get to a economic big take from Friday's fallout of all the Trump economy news. And we'll do that on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at Piazza Auto Group. Let me introduce you to the all-new 2025 Piazza Acura ADX. It is the latest addition to their precision-crafted lineup. The ADX is a premium compact SUV with a breakthrough in design, performance, and innovation. With a turbocharged engine, available all-wheel drive system, and cutting-edge technology, the Acura ADX, engineered for those who demand more. And best of all, it is now available at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester with leases, get this, for as low as $389 per month. An Acura SUV under $400 a month. Dreams do come true. Check it out online right now, piazzaacura.com.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Yeah, a lot of people up in arms about the AI-generated photo with Trump as the Pope. We've got new details on Biden's cognitive state of mind from multiple books. Also, a MAHA-friendly food app that has Big Food up in arms. Plus, Cut Sheet and Harry Mays will join us at 7:45. But let's get down to business. Time for a Monday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Staples. The Big Take. Money, money, money. All eyes are on the economy when it pertains to Donald Trump and his administration. Late on Friday, towards the end of Kale and Company, Trump delivered on more promises to have dollar signs attached to it. The president deciding to pursue the defunding of PBS and NPR, as well as removing Harvard University's tax-exempt status. The only thing in his way, of course, district judges, as this will face more legal fights that could very well reach the Supreme Court of the United States. Whether he prevails or not remains to be seen, but he's delivering again on campaign promises. Meanwhile, the jobs report was released on Friday, and the country added 177,000 new jobs for April, which is 40,000 above the expected 137,000 jobs. Also, kind of under the radar, China has quietly exempted nearly 25% of all U.S. imports from tariffs, that according to Bloomberg News. On the stock market front, the doom and gloom from all the fearmongers in media has officially vanished. The S&P 500 has now erased all of April's decline and is up over 700 points since the record low from just a few weeks ago. And even CNBC's Jim Cramer, who was peddling all sorts of doomsday scenario with his forecasting, has now said, quote, there won't be a U.S. recession. Translation, we're all screwed. Hashtag sarcasm. Remember, reverse Cramer theory applies 95% of the time. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, though, was a guest on Bill Maher's show Friday night on HBO, and the two had a pretty good back and forth and a passionate exchange about Trump's economy. And surprisingly, it was McCarthy who laid it out beautifully. Listen and watch this.
I guess what I'm asking is, Kevin, so everybody knows something except Trump. Or is it the other way around? We're all wrong and he's got it right?
We're not all wrong, but this is the point. A couple things you didn't mention. This is a stock market up for the first time 9 straight days. That's only happened 8 times in the last 25 years.
Up from where it was way down.
But you haven't been every single day for 9 straight days. That's only happened 31 times in 97
years. And why did that happen, I'm asking?
Well, I think we've gotten over that we know the tariffs are a negotiation. It's not going to stay this way. I think people are seeing the investment coming back. You look at the jobs numbers today, it surpassed the second time. And if you read into the job numbers,
yeah, jobs
9,000 now 9,000 jobs have been cut in government, but the private sector has grown. So this is, he's doing a disruption, but you're seeing kind of a little light at the end of the tunnel. Now, if they get in the next 60 days a couple trade agreements, I think you're going to see this market take off.
It is still wild to me to this day that those in media in opposition of Trump paint him as lost when it comes to the economic issues in our country, as if he didn't have America humming and running on all cylinders economically in 2017, 2018, and 2019. And the hypocrisy of the economy is great. Look at the stock market. When Biden was in office, all of a sudden we swap out presidents in January and the economy is on the verge of a recession. I remember all of those statements from everybody in media. I keep the receipts. So which one is it? Is the stock market an indicator of the economy or is it not? And Trump isn't pulling any punches with the economy and tariffs. He said this is what he is going to do all along. He's doing exactly what he said he would do. But again, tariffs are only one of four pieces to the economic pie. The other three are energy, tax cuts and DOGE, and cutting down the size of the government. So if we're reducing federal government jobs, but we're seeing increases in public sector jobs, that's a win-win. And it's right on par with his agenda. And a sticking point, however, is the current interest rates in America in the housing market. Would Trump whack Jerome Powell from the Fed? Kristen Welker of NBC's Meet the Press asked him this yesterday on her show. Listen and watch this.
Do you rule out removing Fed Chair Jerome Powell?
I'm not, you know, I get to change him very quickly anyway. You know, it's in a very short period of time.
In 2026. You're not going to remove, you don't have plans to remove him before 2026 his time's up?
That was a total, why would I do that? I get to replace the person in another short period of time.
Plenty of Trump and Welker coming up on the cut sheet at 7:45. The current home mortgage rate on a 30-year fixed loan, average nationwide, 6.97%. That has got to change. I personally would move on from Jerome Powell. I know his time is winding down, but hell, I'd put Scott Bessent in that role, if possible. The reason I'd do it sooner rather than later is because the Republican Party is now the party of the common person. Blue-collar, middle America. You now need an extra $50,000 a year in your salary to purchase a home, as opposed to being stuck as a renter. That, according to Axios, just about 7 hours ago, you can read the story on their X feed. The Democrats have been the global elites for a decade now. And I actually think it all started when Hillary Clinton called MAGA deplorables. Ever since then, party realignment has shown us the changing of the parties. And even Chuck Todd, formerly of NBC's Meet the Press, admits it. Here's Chuck Todd breaking it down on CNN of all places. Listen and watch.
It's just three straight nominations where Democratic voters didn't get a chance to pick the nominee. The elites picked Hillary Clinton, the elites picked Joe Biden, and the elites picked Kamala Harris. There was no actual set of voters who felt like they had a say in this.
Yeah. I'm also still wondering. So let's just assume that Democrats do not decide that they are interested in reformulating the pizza. They just want to spend time focused on refashioning the pizza box. Mm-hmm. I still don't even know what that's going to be. I mean, here we were talking about a strongly worded letter, and that got the endorsement of like, yep, that's what we need to be doing, more strongly worded letters. I'm not really sure that Democrats yet have figured out stylistically how do we want to.
The Democrats are so elite these days that not only do they speak down to Trump supporters, not only do they call Trump Hitler, not only do they cater their policies to the coastal Ivy League elites and fringe communities, but they also do not allow their own constituents to choose who will speak on their behalf. They are only looking for useful idiots who are controllable, that will stick to the playbook and make their billionaire bankrollers happy. And it's amazing that it took retirement for Chuck Todd to get his head out of his butt and admit that on live television. And what Cassie Hunt said there was also important. They don't even understand what the future of their own party should look like, much like understand Trump Republicans. And two stories that will illustrate my point. The Atlantic with this story. Phil, please throw up this graphic on YouTube. Headline, the Trump voters who like what they see. It's written by Elaine Godfrey. And she writes, quote, even as Trump's critics cheer his declining poll numbers, they face an inconvenient reality. Many of his voters are jubilant. So let me break it down for the dummies. Trump voters know that polling is usually never accurate when it comes to Donald Trump. Victor Davis Hanson, we played the clip on Friday in the cut sheet. The polls are skewed to underrepresent Trump. Case in point, New York Times poll, Trump approval rating, they only polled 37% of Trump voters. That should be 50-50, 51-49, 52-48, not 63-37. Trump has all of his policies that we voted for in motion. So Trump voters are relatively happy. He's also the most transparent president of all time. And we're only about 28% of the way into his first year. Nobody is delusional enough to expect a miracle in 106 days. And they don't understand MAGA, and they never will, because they can't even understand their own party right now. Story number two to illustrate this, New York Magazine wrote a hit piece of Democratic Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania. Phil, please throw up this graphic on YouTube. The headline is, quote, all by himself, John Fetterman insists he is in good health. But staffers, past and present, say they no longer recognize the man they once knew. Oh, is that right? Why? Because he's made sense on a few policies that Republicans agree with, most notably standing up for Israel against Hamas and the pro-Palestinian nutjobs in the progressive wing of the party. And I bet these are the same fools who said, oh, Biden, he's as sharp as a tack. This is the best Joe we've ever seen. And they were probably saying that as recent as a year ago in last May, prior to that June 27th debate in Atlanta, Georgia. They go on to write in New York Magazine, since winning in 2022, John Fetterman has lost his closest advisors, including three of his top spokespeople, his legislative director, and his chief of staff. Former and current staffers paint a picture of an erratic senator who has become almost impossible to work for, and whose mental health situation is more serious and complicated than previously reported. No one is saying every issue stems from his mental health, but it's become harder to tell which ones do. Fetterman's staffers, his truest believers, now question his fitness to be a senator. They worry he may present a danger to the Democratic Party, and maybe even to himself. So he was good enough 5 months after a stroke to drag to the finish line against Oz in November of 2022. But now that he's largely recovered, but now that he also doesn't subscribe lock, stop, and barrel to your policies, he's no longer fit to serve? He's got to go? Got it. The Democrats and the media, they're both at a loss for solutions. They don't know what their own party should look like. So how can they sit there and judge Trump's party, much less the economy? At their current rate of failure and blatant lies and cover-ups, it wouldn't surprise me if the money starts pouring in with the Trump administration economically by summer's end. And if it does, it's the end of the Democrat Party for the foreseeable future. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals right now. Super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, you can save up to $250 off of your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. It ends on June 14th. Plus, save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, you can let your comments rip on X. And, of course, in the YouTube chat. All right, Dawn, your thoughts twofold. The economy news for Trump from Friday heading into the weekend. And then also your thoughts now all of a sudden hit pieces against John Fetterman. He's not fit to serve. He might be a danger to the party and to himself. Is John Fetterman a threat to democracy, Dawn?
Yeah, Fetterman, suddenly they care about his health, but they hid all the facts about his stroke right before an election. and lied to us. So suddenly they all care because they don't like his politics.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Trump, I think the big headline that for us that does not get enough so-called mainstream headline is that the Biden administration was just a boom for bureaucrats. 6% growth of those full-time non-seasonal federal workforce taxpayers. I was looking up the labor stats during the 4 years of the Biden administration. Taxpayers funded more than 1.6 million new bureaucrats under the or federal hires under the Biden-Harris administration. At the same time, just in 2024, manufacturers cut 50,000 jobs. And so part of the reason, and we have to put all this together, part of the reason they had to cut the federal workforce because Biden had, think of the fluffer, he fluffed it up,
mm-hmm.
right? He inflated it. That's all the experts are saying that, and the stats would support that.
Yeah.
So part of the reason they had to do that with the federal workforce is because it was falsely inflated to offset, to mitigate a bad jobs report.
Yeah, and how many times did they come out and have to readjust the numbers with the corrections? So far on, what, two or three yeah. job reports with Trump, we haven't had those numbers come back to be corrected, right?
Yeah, and so even despite all the federal job cuts, that's what strikes me, is it just shows you that we're bringing back those manufacturing jobs and other jobs, not federal, you know, on the federal worker side. It's de-escalation, if you will. You know, mm-hmm. they're losing their job. Not that we want anybody to lose their job, but these are, in other words, real numbers.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. 855-839-1210, the phone number. We still have to get to the latest on Joe Biden, the cover-up of his cognitive decline. We'll hit on that to wrap up the hour next. And then after the news in hour two, we got to get into the image of Trump as the Pope. I saw Catholic liberals and Catholic conservatives triggered and ticked off over artificial intelligence and a Photoshop. We'll get into it coming up shortly. It's Kale and Company live here on a Monday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
The cognitive decline of Joe Biden. But then again, if you think about this, they did everything under the sun to cover up his decline. Everybody said, oh, we never saw this. I'm going to give you Jen Psaki in just a moment. You'll hear her saying that this is a total surprise. He was sharp. Remember, there were publications out there. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. Joe Biden's mental health in free fall. Nothing to substantiate this, which is interesting when you think about it, because now they're throwing Fetterman under the bus, yet they've covered for people like Dianne Feinstein, 90 years old, Nancy Pelosi in her early to mid 80s, all of these other people. It's just, you know, a back and forth of, well, no, they're good. No, now Fetterman's not. No, Joe Biden was fine. Actually, we realized he wasn't, and we just had to get him to the finish line. So this story yesterday, courtesy of Fox News, the headline, book reveals Biden advisors declined to have the president take a cognitive test in February of 2024, so the last election year. And the new book says they chose not to do this over concerns that taking the test itself would raise more questions about his age. That came from a report yesterday in the New York Times, of all places. Authors Tyler Pager, a reporter for the Times, Josh Dawsey, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and Isaac Arnsdorf, a reporter for the Washington Post, have written a book titled 2024, How Trump Retook the White House and the Democrats Lost America. It's coming out later this summer in July. I might actually buy this book, and I'm very curious to read some of the specific reporting and what these reporters have detail-wise that most of us are not privy to, even though our eyes never failed us. Our ears didn't fail us. We saw this happening in real time. You look at Joe in 2019, 2020 during the debates, then when he wins, he takes over in 2021. And the fall off each and every year, less visibility, less accountability. Who's running the White House? The book, one of several about the tumultuous 2024 election cycle, details how Biden's top aides debated having him complete a cognitive test to quell concerns about his age. The aides were reportedly confident that Biden would pass the test. Quote, at the same time, Mr. Biden's long-term doctor, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, had told aides he would not take the 81-year-old president's political standing into consideration when treating him. The debate over whether the president should have taken the test occurred in February, several months before the June debate. Now, if they were being honest with themselves, if he takes that cognitive test, fails it miserably, that would have given the Democrats, in theory, more legit time to have a primary, find a better candidate than Kamala Harris, and then who knows how this election would have played out. But remember this as well. This also comes in the same month, and this is a great point here by the New York Times, that special counsel Robert Hur's report about Biden's mishandling of classified documents was released. And never forget, the special counsel described Biden, and we've talked about this a ton, as, quote, a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. And here we are all this time later. We were right. They were wrong, or they were covering it up, and they knew that we were right. But they didn't want to admit it because maybe they didn't feel great about Kamala. They didn't want to have an open primary, you name it. One of the people complicit in this in the first half of Biden's first term was the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki. We know the second half was the binder, Karine Jean-Pierre. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And then the Photoshop image from the weekend that had everybody up in arms. Because apparently, people on both sides have lost their sense of humor. We'll talk about it. We'll give you the visual if you didn't see it over the weekend. So get on over to YouTube. We'll hit on that when we come back. It's Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.